All right. Tuesday, Show Me the Money Club live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. What's going on, everybody? I'm back. Had a nice little week off for certain circumstances. Everybody, kid is doing very well. Mommy and child are doing great. So very good there. I don't know what more to say, but glad to be back. What's up?
How many diapers have you changed so far?
Stop. What? Right. How you doing there?
No? Shit. I changed quite a bit. All right. Okay.
Well, he's attached to mommy, so I give him that. Plus, I'm taking care of the other kids right now more than anything. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
She's got to take care of him. I'm taking care of the others. So we're good to go. We got a nice little plan of action right now. And hopefully it's good to go for them, and we'll see. But either way, we got a great show for you guys. Let's get right into the rundown, because we do have our guests coming on in just a minute. So we do have Phil Andrews of Maxonomics and Morning Brew. If you haven't catched that video yet, we have the video is linked in the description, so you can check that out, as well as Phil's channels and website. On top of that, we're also going to be talking about Uber introducing Uber X Priority on your preferences tab. Maybe you see it, maybe you don't, but what is it? We're going to be talking about that. RSG reaches 200,000 subscribers. Number one channel when it comes to Uber and Lyft and helping drivers, gig economy. So special thank you for everybody there. We did it last week, and very excited about that. Not only that, we're going to be talking about, can anyone figure out the Uber driver pricing algorithm? A nightmare within itself. I don't even know if the coders know how to do that. We'll see, though. Then we're going to be talking about Lyft announcing more driver tools in the app. We're going to be talking about a story about why a dash cam is a must for every driver. And guess what? Guess what's in a couple of days? Black Friday. We've already got deals going on. So make sure, if you don't have a camera, get one. We have links in the description for different ones, whether it's VanTrue, Display Ride, which is great. You know, the whole cloud versus internal storage debate. Cloud is great for a number of reasons, internal storage as well, just depending on what you want, but get something. Links in the description, check that out. Also, we're going to be talking about, is the Trump immigration policy going to reduce driver oversaturation? What's going on? And then we're going to be talking about Sergio's Uber Eats experience with another fake account. What's going on? And I got a couple of things to talk about when we get to that topic. So we got a lot coming for you today. With that being said, we do have a special guest coming on today. And, one of the videos that he made, and kind of the reason why we reached out, was the autonomous vehicles, the Waymos, soon to be the unicorns, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to be getting cases of cones and putting them into LA, Austin, Atlanta, San Francisco, and any other place that they are. So for those drivers in those areas, when you see a case of cones sitting on the sidewalk, and just grab one, plop it on that thing, let it become a little unicorn. And with that being said, let's bring on Phil. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
So Black Friday, cool, it's coming up. So you can buy all those cones for cheap, buddy. Black Friday.
I had never heard it described as a unicorn before. That really kind of put a smile on my face, the idea of it actually.
They look like a unicorn. Haven't you seen those pictures? They look like a unicorn.
Now that you say it, I have seen that for sure.
Well, Phil, welcome to Show Me the Money. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm doing great.
Absolutely. So Phil has a YouTube channel called Maxonomics. Love it. It's like about economics. Does it come from maximum economics, or how did you come up with that?
You know, it's a great question. It's just kind of one of those names that spawned from, like maximum economics or economics. Was just looking for a name that encapsulated talking about all sorts of different business and economic stuff. That was just catchy. And that's what sprung up.
It's like stagflation.
it conveys the right thing. Yeah.
Right. No, I got the right thing. And he's also part of a crew at Morning Brew. So both links are on the show notes. Please go check it out and please subscribe. I mean, look, he does great videos, great editing. And he's here because of his last video. So I watched it, of course, and I'm like, okay, That's cool. Now, as I said to you during, you know, while we were emailing back and forth, 99.9% of the people here, a couple hundred here so far, and watching later are rideshare drivers, right? So we are concerned as rideshare drivers, first of all, are we getting replaced with these things, right? Sure. And look, I've done a few rides, way more rides, you know, I mean, I have my doubts about it, especially as far as economics is concerned, right? Because it doesn't kind of make sense to do $10 trips with $150,000 Jaguar, you know what I mean? I don't know. But so please go check that video out. And the title of that video was, what will Uber do with that $25 billion they're going to save when autonomous vehicles show up? I'm going like, okay, well, let's get into it. What do you think Uber is going to do? Or, you know, well, first of all, do you think we're going to get replaced, all of us? We're like, there's 3-4 million Uber drivers in the U.S.
No, for sure, I don't think that will be the case, or at the very least for a long period of time. The time it will take to build these vehicles, to scale them, to get them to be moving outside of just the main city centers is going to be a long road. And importantly, I think Uber and Lyft play a critical function in balancing the market and making sure that there's always somebody there to drive somebody from point A to point B. I think that at the moment, there's less than 1,000 Waymos in the United States. And that number is going to go up, but it's still a very small fraction. I don't think that these are going to completely replace human drivers. I don't really think that's what everybody wants either. I think that where there's most, and I guess if there's bad news, and I realize the audience that I'm talking to, and I don't want to pull my words, I want to speak what I actually think. So I think the most danger really is in kind of the big city centers. Outside of the city centers, in the smaller towns, in the suburbs, in towns that aren't really going to be able to accommodate a lot of autonomous vehicles, that's where Uber and Lyft drivers will be least affected. But even those that are in the major cities, it's going to take a very long time. Like it's going to take there. It's in 5 cities now. It will take 3 or 4 years for them to put another 10,000 Waymos on the road. And that's still just a fraction of the demand. So I think really what happens actually, if you're curious on the trajectory and how this affects Uber drivers, like out of the gate, as this starts to ramp up and these cars start to come onto the Uber platform and the Lyft platform, and even on their own platform, is the drivers that have the lowest ranking and the lowest rating on the apps will probably be offered less rides. That's probably the first group of people to be affected. And in some ways, that is certainly bad for that group of people. In some ways, it's good for the consumers. But in other ways, for the best drivers, it's probably a good thing. I think that there could actually be, if you're a top-rated Uber driver, I think that you could actually end up with a little bit more business at a higher rate than otherwise, just because of what's expected of somebody when they order a human driver on the Uber and Lyft platform. So if you're really good, I think that there's a potential for there to be benefit in the medium term.
Okay. Well, I don't know how many rideshare drivers you personally know, right? So I've been on their platform for 8 years. So just, it's not a correction on you, but there's something called throttling, Phil. Uber and Lyft throttle, you know, just like throttling your internet when a lot of people, you know, just go online at the same time in your neighborhood, they kind of throttle it slowed everything down, right?
Yeah.
Uber and Lyft throttle drivers. Even I am a 496 driver after 10,000 trips in 8 years. So when I have an incentive coming up or when I'm about to finish one of my incentives or call quests, you know, the last few hours, Uber and Lyft both will throttle me and will not send me any trips, regardless of how good of a driver I am. So the fact that maybe there is a kind of a correlation there may be that the lowest rated drivers are not going to get trips and this and that, that's already happening today. We're used to all that stuff. So bring it on as far as the Waymos are concerned. But you know, I had Alex Kantrowitz on a few months ago. We talked nothing but unit economics. So let's talk a little bit about unit economics of this thing. Obviously, it's upside down. It doesn't make sense at the moment. Even if they put 10,000 cars out there, I don't know if it's going to make sense. As you know, the Uber and Lyft and a lot of these gig companies are low asset, maybe zero asset business models, right? They don't even own their service, probably. They're probably renting some AWS server somewhere. So I'm going, okay, so to Waymo, this is a massively capital intensive business, right? To put 10,000 Jaguars, or I heard now that they're going to go with the Ioniq 6, I guess, is billions of dollars, right? How does that make sense? Do you think the unit economics makes sense in any of this, even with 10,000 cars as far as scale is concerned?
I do. I honestly do think that the unit economics end up making sense. At the small scale that it is happening right now, I do not think the unit economics makes sense. But of course, when you see the big numbers of how much money Waymo has lost or how much money Google is pouring into it, a lot of it is obviously because they just don't have enough cars on the road to pull in revenue to offset the cost. So while there is a hardware cost here, and hardware is always one of the businesses that investors are looking at, like, do I really want to put a ton of CapEx into a hard asset that's going to depreciate over time? Most of this, I do think, turns to profit once you get to a certain scale. And importantly, as you see the sensor costs come down, and if maybe you move off the Jaguar platform to a cheaper Hyundai platform, if you see the price of these things come down, they get far more competitive. And I think one of the, we talked before the show a little bit about this. One of the big things that's in the unit economic cost of Waymo and Uber is insurance. Insurance is like a huge deal. It's such a big cost across a variety of different industries. And I think that what ends up happening actually with Waymo and these other companies is because it's all one car, because it's all software, because it will be so obviously transparent to the insurance companies, I think the cost to insure these vehicles, at least in certain areas, will be cheaper than a human, because it's what an insurance company wants, what an actuary wants. They want data. They want to be able to see and model a perfect probabilistic scenario. And that's what Waymo will give them. So I actually think the insurance cost ends up coming down over time, not up front, but over time. And because of that, a lot of the insurance costs will come down. When you ramp this up to 10, 20, 50,000 cars, I do think the unit economics turn positive. Even if they don't turn positive on a per mile or a per ride basis for just transporting someone from point A to point B, all the ancillary services or the tangential services of selling advertising inside the car or selling other services and things to people that get in a Waymo or an autonomous vehicle, I think are too attractive for businesses like Google or an Uber for this to not end up working on a unit economic basis.
Okay. You know, if I may push back on that a little bit. Okay. So let's look at Uber and let's look at Lyft. Okay. So Uber has been around and Lyft have been around for 12 years or so, you know, and then they reached this massive scale, literally put $35 billion on fire to create this amazing marketplace, yeah. Right? Without owning the cars, without owning any assets, right? Uber just now is turning profitable, and that's because they charge as much as they can with certain elasticity, and they pay as little as they can to the drivers through the wonderful algorithms that they run, okay? And Lyft still hasn't made a red cent in rideshare. So as far as I know, and I know reasonably well, rideshare is a horrible business to be in. It's horrible. Now, if you can't make money without owning the cars, how are they going to make money? How is Google going to make money to justify that tens of billions of dollars to put those cars? And FYI, even if they put, I know they're up to 150,000 trips a week now, you know, in those four or five cities. Mm-hmm. Uber does 1.2 million trips per hour, okay, globally, every hour, 7 days a week. So what would you say to that, that when I push back a little bit and say, without owning the cars, they can't make any money. How are they going to make money? Even if these cars get scaled up and then they come down to $50,000, $60,000 a piece as opposed to $150,000.
So the way I would look at this is that by unifying the entire platform and all costs end up being the same across these vehicles and being able to optimize down to, you know, the tires that go on a car, I do think that it becomes easier to make money moving someone from point A to point B, as opposed to, and here's as opposed to luring drivers out onto the road that are human with their cars and having to say, hey, we'll pay you X amount to come bring your vehicle onto the road. All of the rough edges that are part of rideshare that make it so difficult, you know, having to incentivize people to come onto the road, end up becoming things that you can sand the edges down on for an autonomous vehicle. If you have a fleet of autonomous vehicles, I'm not in the camp that you need to have these things running 24/7 in order to offer service across an entire city. You just need to hit a particular mark. And what you don't have to do is you don't have to do surge pricing, insurance costs come down. When you can offer to an insurance company, I think that this, we come back to the insurance company, we'll probably do this a couple of times. When you can say to an insurance company, we have a fleet of 50,000 of the same exact cars operating in climates that are all variety, all pretty much the same. Here's the data on it. And when you can give that to an insurance company would love to take that business, and they would love to offer insurance on something that they can really see the risk around. So when you can do everything it is like boring just because you don't get the variety of the human experience. Well, but
look, I mean, the rideshare is a very low margin business. It's sure. A fact. It's, you know, but in your video, you correctly stated that you know, your numbers come from 30 cities that put Uber paid out $25 billion to their drivers. So that $25 billion could be theirs if they eliminated the drivers to a certain degree. So I took the liberty of taking a couple of screenshots from your video, and I'm going to put it up.
Can I just
and explain those?
The $25 billion. All right, yeah, go ahead. I was going to say the $25 billion, make it clear in the video that it goes to the driver and their vehicle. Because I think when we think about the driver, a lot of times people don't consider that the driver and the vehicle are the same thing.
Okay, Chris, can you put that up, the slide number two? All right, so this is from your video, right? Uber's operational cost, $3.20 a mile, $2.20 a mile goes to the driver, $1 a mile. So you're going to get some flack on this one. $2.20 a mile in our, we wish $2.20 a mile went to, to the driver. Let me tell you what my rate card was in Los Angeles before upfront fares bill. I'll have you take a guess. I drive in Los Angeles, right? Before upfront fares, which is completely separated, what the rider pays from what the driver receives is, we had a rate card like cabs, right? Dollar, time and distance, basically. That's how the algo used to run. What do you think the algo would pay me in Los Angeles, probably as high in the living costs as anywhere? We were down to what, do you think? I was down to, I'll give it to you. We were down to 60 cents a mile, which is 7 cents under the IRS deduction, and 21 cents a minute. That's what I used to get paid with on trips that had no surge. So $2.20 a mile, I wish I would get $2.20 a mile. I would accept every single trip. That's why my acceptance rate is like single digits, 6%. I decline all the trash that they send me these days. And so does 300 of you now here watching. How did you come up with this number? The $2.20 a mile goes to the driver, and one goes to Uber.
And this will be where the flack comes from for sure, yeah. Because Uber's stated take rate is 29.7%. But, and I really want to be clear here, is when I say goes to the driver, and the yellow bar represents $2.20 per mile, the experience from the driver, from a variety of commenters and people I've talked to, isn't that experience. But really what the $2.20 per mile represents is what Uber's cost of acquiring the driver and the vehicle are, including insurance. So even if that number doesn't go to the driver, Uber's cost to get that unit of transportation onto the road costs them $2.20 per mile. So in the video, I say they can whittle that down. That's their incentive.
I think you could switch those two. I think $1 goes to the driver and $2.20 goes to Uber. And, you know, by the way, Uber's operational costs, I don't know what they do with 33,000 people there, but they do something, obviously. I think there's one city that's pretty close to these offers, which is Seattle, up in Washington State. And those drivers get paid really, really well. But the business, you know, look, 8 years ago, I used to get paid $1.40 a mile and 40 cents a minute in L.A., and with all the inflation and everything else, Phil, in 8 years, I was down to 60 cents a mile and 21 cents a minute, right? So 50% cut while all my costs due to inflation had gone up 40, 50, 60% over the last 8 years. So as drivers, obviously we complain about money because we're not making money. I mean, it's just ridiculous at the moment. But and this actually caught my eye. So going with the same thing, right? You figured this I agree with this part, that there is this little, that blue part where you circled on your video, that 70 cents times Uber did last quarter, by the way, 2.9 billion trips. Those are global numbers, but a bulk of it, probably more, about 50% of it is in the US. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of money. So somehow, if everything remained the same, that 70 cents is going to get split between Uber and Waymo somewhere. And that's a lot of money on 2.9 billion trips, even on a billion trips, right, per quarter. So this is where you see that 70 cents going potentially to Uber or Waymo or split somewhere, or how do you think it's going to work out?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult to forecast exactly which direction this is going to go in, because it's going to be a negotiation between the two companies. One, Uber is going to ask themselves, can we actually move 70% off of the remaining, off of that number? Waymo is going to look at this and say, can we turn a profit at this amount? So they'll fight over this amount. The question is really, I think, whether or not Waymo and Uber end up being in a partnership long term. Is Waymo going to run its own app like it's doing in three cities? Or is it going to end up on the Uber platform where Uber is going to pay it a per mile fee? If Waymo decides that the distribution that Uber offers is more important, more of this share is going to go to Uber. If Waymo can manage to run its own app, then they're going to collect more of it. Ultimately, though, at least in the midterm, let's call it 5 years, I think it's going to be very difficult for Waymo to not be on the Uber app in the major cities. The distribution that Uber offers and the ability for Uber to say, all right, this Waymo vehicle is taking 15 minutes to get here. We have a top-rated Uber driver that's ready in 2 minutes. I think that gives the hand to Uber for capturing more of that value over the next 5 years. How it plays out over the long run, I think is a little bit harder, a little bit more fuzzy to forecast. So at the moment, I lean that more of this share goes to Uber than it does to Waymo. How much of that exactly, I think, is still up in the air.
And the thing with that is that at the moment, see, I'm looking at this, you know, I do quite a bit of consulting with sell side analysts before every Uber and Lyft quarter. The way I'm looking at this is that 70 cents actually is a lot less than what they're doing now. What they're doing now is they have these two double algorithms running, one on the rider end, one on the driver end. And again, because Lyft is competing, so with certain elasticity, they're charging the rider as much as they can. And they know everything about you, by the way, right? They have asymmetric information advantage on you. Uber's and they also know everything about the driver, right? Yeah. So what the algo is doing is taking the take rate, as we call it in our industry, and drivers, has gone up to 40, 50, 60% now, right? So that's how Uber has become profitable. It's not a magic, you know, formula that they do. They charge as much as they can, pay as little as they can. And that 70 cents, I think, is low for the fact that now they have free reign. They can charge whatever they want to a point, and they pay as little as they can. And that take rate, I believe, is going to be more than 70 cents, but that remains to be seen, actually. And last thing I want to show you is, with your pretty face in there, I do agree. This is probably going to benefit Google a little bit more than it does Uber. At the moment, Google needs Uber because Google, you know, Uber has the network, right? But then I think Uber needs Google because of advertising, as you aptly stated in your video. Please go check the video out. It's really, really well done. Like, you know, if I'm going to a bar, the way they can situate, you know, the riders facing each other in the car, the configuration of the car, the, you know, with flat screens, what kind of advertising they can show. You know, they may show me a Heineken ad while on my way to the bar, and that obviously is going to, you know, influence me to go have a Heineken probably. So there is a lot of ad dollars that I think this is getting done for, because look, I looked at the statistics, 45 minutes each way is spent if I'm working somewhere and a W-2 to work and back from work. If I can eliminate that 45 minutes, personally speaking, I'm going to gain an hour and a half of productivity as a human to do anything I want if I'm in a driverless car, right? That means I can buy some crap I don't need on Amazon. That means I can, you know, look at my Facebook, or I can be on my laptop doing what I do. I think all this, Phil, my opinion again, but, you know, you'll chime in a second, is to increase human productivity, because last time I checked, there was still 24 hours in a day. I don't think you can adjust that. And if I can save myself an hour or two a day of extra productivity going and back to work and from home to work, I think that's what this is all being done. I don't think this is done for rideshare purposes only.
I mean, I would generally agree with that. You think, hold on, I just want to clarify, summarize, make sure. You think that a lot of the AV, the autonomous stuff here, is to increase human productivity. And so you're saying if you can take an AV vehicle, an autonomous vehicle, one way from work, 45 minutes each way, yep, you save an hour and a half. So you can do more. Is that right? Pick that up. And yep, Google's incentive there is you can spend more time browsing the internet, which means there's more advertising. Yep. Gotcha. Okay. Yep. I have no doubt that that has to be a part of it. I mean, why would Google get involved in Waymo in the first place? This is an advertising business. Like, that's what they do. There's certainly a map component, I'm sure, but the data that Google gets out of this will be incredibly valuable, in addition to having a venue to sell additional advertising. I agree.
Yeah. I did an interview actually last week about this, you know, the Business Insider. They said, what do you think? Are you threatened by AVs? I'm like, no, why would I be? Why would I be threatened? I mean, look, there's 1.2 million trips per hour, you know, Uber is doing. Okay. All right. Well, maybe, you know what they should do with these AVs and Waymos is give all the trash offers to these Waymos to just keep zipping around and maybe pick up all the drunks or whatever, right? And then give us the good trips. You know what I mean? It's like there's 200 of them in LA, I think. Why am I going to be, you know, I don't know how many are out there in San Francisco where you are, but I'm not concerned. The market is so huge. Total addressable market is so huge that as a driver, first of all, I don't want to be a driver as a career to start with, right? I mean, we're doing all rideshare to pay a few bills and whatever. But if you're a full-time driver, I'm not going to be concerned about AVs. I really am not.
I think that makes sense. Yeah, the full-time drivers and the people that are on the platform all the time will likely be treated and be fine. I would agree, at least in the medium term, again, 5 years. There is a ton of demand. I saw on the slide when you pulled it up that there is oversaturation, though. And I wanted to ask what you meant by that. You have a topic coming up later in the show. Yeah. And you were wondering, and you brought up oversaturation. Is there oversaturation in all markets, would you say, in terms of Uber drivers?
Massive, massive
oversaturation. Turn the tables on you and ask a question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's your turn now. But massive oversaturation. And the reason for that is we do our surveys at the rideshare guy. The average lifespan, when I say lifespan, not literally, the average a gig worker or a rideshare driver lasts on the apps is 8 months or less.
Oh, wow.
8 months, right? So that means Uber as a business or Lyft or DoorDash or whoever they are, they have to replenish this driver base or courier base literally 100% a year, every single year, right? But now what's happening is that oversaturation has something to do with macroeconomic conditions. We know what's going on with inflation. We know how expensive things are. Sure. And barriers to entry is so easy to get into this business as a driver, right? I mean, you upload a few documents, you go through a watered down background check, and you're on the road driving, making a couple hundred bucks a weekend. Well, all those people who have regular W-2s, it's not enough. Their incomes are not enough. So they just get into rideshare or get into gig work, some sort of gig work. And that's what's happening, you know, massive, massive oversaturation, especially in major cities. And, you know, so the pie is the same, right? But the mouse to feed off the pie is a lot more mouse. And I know it from my numbers in LA, right? Major city I drive in. And there's something called utilization rate. So meaning in out of the 60 minutes, what percentage of the time I'm on a ride in an hour. I used to run about 92-93%. I'm down to 52% now.
Interesting.
So meaning I'm sitting there waiting for a request. There's literally, Phil, if you should do this test actually. Turn your rider app on, right? On Lyft and Uber. You can look you don't have to order a trip. You can look at it. You will see literally 8 cars inside your building that you're in right now. There's 8 cars at every corner, every single corner.
I have noticed that. And that, those are drivers that are waiting to pick up somebody.
Yeah, well, those are 8 that they're showing. It's a lot more, actually, right? Okay. So that's the oversaturation part. So what happens when oversaturation comes? We make less money because we're not, the only time we're making money is with a butt in the back seat and with the wheels turning. That's the only time we're getting paid. So if my utilization factor is going from 92 to 50%, I'm making 42% less money because there's so many drivers. And this is not a political show, obviously, but then the illegal accounts is a huge problem. Right. Huge. And, you know, you'll check this. I can get on the dark web and get myself an illegal account like this and drive for Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, whoever I want. Right. And that's a huge problem as well. And so, you know, we look all into these things as far as oversaturation is concerned. But you're the guest. I'm going to give you the floor for the next couple, 3 minutes. You know, close us up. Close your segment up. What else you have coming up? You know, talk about your channel. We didn't talk about the Morning Brew. What is Morning Brew about?
So Morning Brew is the parent company now to Maxonomics. They bought Maxonomics from me about a year ago now, coming up on the 1 year anniversary of when I joined up with them. And Morning Brew is known largely as a newsletter company. They do a daily newsletter every day. It has like 4.5 million subscribers. It's a really nice product. And that's how they really kind of built their business. They decided to expand a little bit and they wanted to bring in some creator-led brands. Maxonomics was one of the ones that they looked at. So they got in touch with me. They bought me. And now they offer support in a variety of different ways. The YouTube video that you saw, the production behind it, the graphics and the artwork and so forth, I am fortunate enough to have a team from Morning Brew that helps me with that stuff. So take some of the load off my work so I can do the research, the writing, the analysis, and we can put out these kind of videos. So that's Morning Brew's role. In terms of Maxonomics, what's coming out, I do think that we have a pretty solid lineup of very interesting topics. Coming out next week, we will be looking at SpaceX and the race for space real estate, a very hot topic. And I think that one that is largely not completely understood, or people don't get the scale of what's happening in space at this point in time. And so we're going to dive into that topic. It is very interesting. It's going to be a great video. I'm excited to bring it out. Across with a bunch of short form topics as well. So that's what's coming out next. And then for me, I have my head in the data or reading some type of report. So you can find me on Twitter espousing the little thoughts while all the big thoughts come out in video.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, please follow Phil on Twitter, but also check out the videos. They're really, really well done. And look, if you maybe one day we collaborate, we'll do a driver related video. Maybe we'll just get in a car with a driver, drive for a whole shift, 8 hours, what that driver goes through. Because, you know, More Perfect Union took a chance with one of those videos. It just hit like 4.4 million views. So, you know, the driver story is something that is not told, really, because nobody cares. We're just a number, you know, but because the golden goose that lays the golden egg is the rider. You're paying the bills. Nobody cares about the driver, but we care. That's why, you know, we just hit our 200,000 subscriber mark last week, actually. So, you know, we're driver's advocates. We're always here for the driver. So if you're ever going to do something like that, please ring us up. I'll be happy to collaborate with you.
Congratulations on the 200,000. You guys are doing fantastic work. Well earned. And yeah, we will definitely be in touch. Hopefully we got a video that we can put out in that realm. So yeah, absolutely.
All right, great. Well, thank you for coming on. Much appreciated. Please go check it out. Seriously, it's one of my favorite YouTube channels. And, you know, look, man, it is what it is, right? People are driving in record numbers, Phil. There's 7.5 million Uber drivers globally. There's more, 50% more than last year, year over year. Why are all these people driving if things are so bad? That's because they need cash. Right. That's why we're driving. Always tip your driver, Phil. Always tip your driver if you take an Uber or Lyft.
I'm a big tipper. I learned a lot from this conversation. This was great. I really appreciate you having me on. And I agree. Tip your driver.
Absolutely. Thank you. Much appreciated. See you soon.
Thanks, Sergio. Bye, Chris.
All right. Yes. So if you want to check out, the links are in the description. You can check out, it's got the Morning Brew website, the channels on YouTube, and also the video that Sergio has been referencing when it came to the screenshots, as well as the topic of conversation.
Yeah, I love Phil, man. Phil, you know, he that last video, right? I watched it twice, actually. And because I could grab the screenshots, you know what I mean? And he does great work, man. And yeah, check it. And there are other topics in there that you guys will enjoy, right? It's about economics, maximum economics, whatever it is. And he's great. And I'm actually thrilled to have him on. So let's go with the show, because I have to finish. What is it? 4:30, sir.
Uh-oh. Something with the kid?
I'm driving as much as before, except that it's going to end next week. It's going to end next week, because next week they're going to start taking the team bus
to games. Even better.
Shit. I'm like, yes, it's over.
Even better. All right. With that being said, well, let's get into Uber X Priority. You may want to check your apps and your preferences, because you might have something called the Uber X Priority in your city. Currently, I looked at my app. I have it as well. I don't know what it is.
I don't either.
What is it?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. You know why I don't know? Because it just showed up like a few days ago. And I got a bunch of emails. What is this search? I'm like, why are you guys asking me like as if I'm Uber support? Well, I am Uber support. But I'm like, why are you guys asking me? I don't know. So now what do? I ask Uber, right? Right? Okay. This is what Uber said. I'm quote for quote. You earn more on these trips.
Well, I hope so, because I'm looking up. I'm looking up on my Uber passenger app right now for a ride from where I'm sitting currently to a local grocery store, and they have Uber X wait and I mean, we don't have that many services in our area to begin with, but they have Uber X wait and save XL or comfort, and then they have under economy Uber X priority connect.
But that was there forever. Uber X priority for the rider was there forever. Yeah. This showed up as a
now
preference, like for the, so does the, this is what I'm assuming. I'm assuming that if you have only Uber X priority clicked or checked, let's say, I guess you will grab all the people who selected Uber X priority, I guess. Honestly, I don't even know. Do you guys know? Have you guys done a, see, there's inner city. This is from my app, by the way. Inner city is between cities. That's been there for a while. Uber Pet, Uber X and Share and Comfort. Uber X and Share and Comfort are combined with me. In some other cities, it's not. Sure.
I'm going to give you, this is, I just typed in Google and says Uber X priority. And it says you are paying, this is for the passenger side. You are paying for the chance of a faster ETA by increasing the likelihood of a driver accepting your request because you're paying more. But here's the thing. Then I typed in UberX Priority driver. AI had to come in. AI overview says UberX Priority is a service that increases the likelihood of a driver accepting a rider's request, which can potentially reduce the estimated time of arrival. However, there's no guarantee that paying for priority pickup will result in faster ETA. It seems like it's just more like they're separating it, where the priority is going to get kind of
chefed
something. I don't know
the priority, but, okay, let me tell you something. I will get an Uber X priority. Yes, you will get make more money, but somebody just asked, make more money above what? That's a good question, as usual, because upfront fares, we don't know. And they will give you more money on the UberX priority, but shave the base fare, I'm pretty sure. Look, this showed up. Any of you have, and this is not just California. This is like, you have it. A bunch of other people emailed me saying, Serge, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So I asked Uber. Uber said, you will make more money. I'm like, okay. I'm going to select that and go do a few trips. Let's see if I catch a fish or not. I don't know. UberX priority on the rider end, they really shaft you well. I'm serious. So if you're a rider and watching this, don't pick UberX Priority, because there are so many cars out there that you just order regular Uber and then it'll get to you as fast as an UberX Priority car will be. So as a rider, don't use it. Yeah, I don't know what it is. So if any of you in the chat, I don't know how many of you are here, but if any of you have done a trip this way and you got paid more, let me know. Put it in the chat or send the screenshot to me, Sergio@therideshareguy.com. I don't know.
I don't know, but you know what? I'm actually really surprised. Uber, why didn't you email us beforehand? Because usually you know that when something like this is going to happen, we're going to be talking about it on the show. Usually, not always, actually, a couple of times, we've had something come our way letting us know what it is, because you're going to say, we know you're going to talk about this on the show and we want to clarify it.
Yeah.
Not just Uber Priority will pay you more money. We have a little bit more than that.
Okay. I don't know, man. Okay. So, okay. Let's see what Mr. Sniper says. LA's top search sniper. Guys, this is about the gross bookings. They want to make sure they remove cherry pickers from the main pool rides that come in. What does that have to do with UberX Priority, Mr. Gambit? I don't know. So yeah. If any of you have done a trip, please have it checked and the trip comes in UberX Priority, send me a screenshot and then we'll talk more about it, because that's all Uber said is you will make more money. In fact, they sent me the link of what it means for the rider, just like you read a minute ago. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
yeah. Okay, so what have to do with me? All it is as a rider, you're going to pay more money for a particular ride. Yeah. And it's supposed to entice the driver, but
we can use this to our advantage, maybe, because maybe, you know, there aren't too many UberX Priority trips, Chris. This is a little bit of a Fight Club thing, but there's no more Fight Club left anyway. So maybe if you just check UberX Priority and you have the sticky attached, maybe it'll keep it for you and then you won't get requests and then you'll just keep it.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? I just gave you guys a Fight Club thing.
For me, I'll have XL and Exxon or X Priority and go from there.
I don't know. So we'll see. So any of you have done this, please send me a screenshot, Sergio@therideshareguy.com.
Actually, I think the question we need to ask as well too is, check your apps right now. Do you have this UberX Priority in your preferences or not? If you don't have it, let us know. And what city? And if you do have it, let us know in what city. We do have, surprisingly, we have it here, which again, we usually have that much. Like there's no black, there's no anything like that. Black SUV, there's no Premier, nothing.
Okay. So Ahmed Mahmoud in UK says, apparently in Birmingham, UK, £2 more. See, New Jersey says yes. Chicago. This is like a major release. Yes, in Boston, LA, Buffalo, and Uber. What's up? I don't know what this is. Why you guys?
I just want to know. Yeah, I just want to know how much more are you going to get paid? I think what I got to do now is I'm going to have to look, or I'm just going to have to let the app run and see what's going on, so I can kind of, you know, see how much difference UberX Priority versus an UberX trip comes in versus in.
Oh my
in
my God! Case, look at XL. This. Look at this. Tucson, OC, Orange County, California, Las Vegas, Denver, everywhere. They put it everywhere. New Jersey.
Now
you're going to get an email tomorrow, because this is, what is this? You just showed up like this? Come on, man. First of all, Chris, if it was really good, you know Uber would have sent us the release. Oh, you're under embargo. Mm. You can't talk about it. Blah, 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 blah. And then it would show up. Tampa. Hey, I have news about Tampa, Sosa South. I'll announce it next week. So I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, so Uber, come clean, please. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Bizarre. That's all I got to say.
Nationwide, it looks like to me. Yeah. Anyway.
Let's see. Right, inbox. Let's go. No, they got nothing on the inbox from there.
I didn't get that either. It just showed up into my preferences. I was like, I was switching from rideshare to delivery, right? And I look at it showed up. And then I sent a screenshot to Uber, and Uber says, you just make more money. It's like, okay, cool. I'm always for making more money.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain. Especially with this weekend coming up. I mean, it might be worth it because, you know, it's one of the busiest travel holidays of the year. So, you know, get out there, make some money. It's going to start tonight, really. And it's going to go definitely tomorrow into Thursday.
Isn't it the busiest travel week, right? It's the busiest travel week.
One of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, one of them.
And then stay the F away from LAX. Pick up, yes. Because that loop, the death loop, oh my God. Good luck if you're going to do it at LAX. So.
Luckily, I have BUF, so it's a lot easier in that case.
Extra $1.36. Okay, is being facetious or does it mean anything?
I think so. I don't know.
Anyway, just send me an email. Send me an email.
I don't know if it's going to be an extra $1.36 on the entire trip.
What?
If it's going to be a very long trip or short trip or whatnot. But I guess we'll see. I wonder if the minimums change or anything too.
Probably, yeah. Anything is game. Anything is possible. Everything is possible.
Well, if we have more information on it, which I hope we will get, because I'm sure there's going to be an email going and coming by the time next week comes. So hopefully we'll have some actual updates with some
He says they added $1.36 because it was UberX priority. I mean, how long was the trip? I mean, you got to give us some details. Anyway, email me, FYF Fitness. Email me, Sergio at the Red Shack. Email me the screenshot.
Do you ever see it as priority with the $1.36 attached, or does it say dollar plus? I don't know. I haven't really seen anything with priority yet.
Well,
let's move on. Let's talk about, a very big milestone here at the Red Shack Guy, which obviously could not be without everybody watching and, you know, liking, sharing. And so, yeah, RSG hit 200,000 subscribers, which is awesome. And we appreciate that. And, you know, thank you very much. Sergio, I know you had something.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know, man. You know, this is like, it's a really great accomplishment. I did a little bit of it because last week you weren't around, but I wanted to put this up because, you know, I said this on Twitter and I'm just going to repeat that. This is the best rideshare channel by miles on YouTube, number one. Number two, I am part of a crew. Chris, obviously, the YouTube manager, and Joe and Jay. And I mean, look, man, you know, we have the best crew. We have the best contributors. And we have a channel owner in Harry, who doesn't put the muzzle on me. And I do deeply, deeply appreciate that, because if he did, I wouldn't be doing it. I want to say what I want to say. You know, because I fact check pretty much everything. Once in a while I mess up, but I want to thank Chris, obviously, right? And he keeps us all in line. I want to thank Harry. I want to thank all the other contributors on the newsletter as well as the YouTube channel. You know, some faces have come and gone, but you know, I want to thank the past contributors as well, because they had something to do with it. And the channel keeps growing. It's growing because we put out amazing, amazing content and trying to be balanced, helpful content, you know, for new or veteran rideshare drivers alike. And I think that's the secret sauce for our success. You know, it's bad. We can complain about it. I do my share of crying and complaining, but then there's also good parts of this work. And the numbers prove it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be hitting 200,000 subscribers. So I want to thank all of you, you know, bottom of my heart. Thank you for the support, specifically for Show Me the Money. You know, I'm not going to say Show Me the Money is the reason, but it's a big part of the channel. And, you know, we do shoulder the load, and Chris, you know, does all the background stuff seamlessly. And I'm proud of being part of this team. And I couldn't think of a, you know, better team to do this with. And yeah, that's it.
Yes. And we just got to say thank you for coming here and making sure that you are getting your questions answered and sharing all the information as well, because, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it without that. where if something goes off and then there's 50 emails that come in, hey, Sergio, what's going on with this? We know something is happening, and you know that keeps us on the ball of being able to figure out what's going on and let everybody know. So on top of that, we also thank you for, you know, providing us with the things that are going on. So then other drivers out there can also know, hey, what the hell is this? Like we're talking about with UberX Priority, just popping up in there. Who knows what it is, really? Yeah. Apparently, you're going to get paid more. So that was short and sweet and to the point, I guess. I mean, how much more is more? A cent more? I mean, really, is that going to be a lot? Or are we getting $1.36 more? Or, you know, could it be like a few dollars more? Either way, we're able to know those things, you know, very quickly and go from there. So,
thank you. I mean, you know, it's a good crew. We know what we're doing, and we're always going to be driver advocates, you know.
And
I'm going to keep doing it until I can't do it. You know, maybe I'll quit when we hit 250,000 subs.
Oh, you'll be on a rush. You'd be like chasing the dragon at that point.
And then does Harry get the is there a plaque for 250,000?
No. It goes 100 and then it's 100K and then a million.
I mean,
you can make your own plaque.
A million, no. I'd be dead by then. What are you talking about? I don't know. No. Anyway, but yeah. Great. Thank you for the support. Keep sending me screenshots. I get overwhelmed once in a while, but then you know, without you guys bringing all this shit up, you know, we wouldn't be able to do this. We wouldn't be able to put these companies' feet to the fire. We wouldn't be able to get the money to you guys either. You know, with the EV shaving and with the Prop 22 stuff, and you know, with the Uber Pro second bonus, and those are all things that we got you the money for. Trust me, we did. And you know. Those are few accomplishments, but we're always working for you guys. And, you know, some of you may not think so. And some of you may think Harry's a shill. Sometimes I get that, you know, they sold out. I'm like, shut the fuck
up. Dude, all I know is if Uber came and said, show me some, or hey, we want to show you some money. If you'd want to talk, I'd be like, well, let's see. But either way, we all get paid from Uber. If you're driving, you get paid from Uber. So, I mean, I guess we're all shills.
I don't know. But yeah, there you go. See, we'll end with that. Thank you, sir. I will see you in Florida in a couple of weeks, hopefully. Please don't have a hurricane. Is it hurricane season in Florida? Is it gone? Is it done?
It's dwindling out right now. So you get very few at this time of the year. Now the snowstorms are coming. So there's a winter storm watch that's coming over. In north.
Your snow season.
Yeah, we got winter storm warnings or watch coming for the weekend, which we shouldn't be getting anything, but
it'll be. I want to go hang out with all the Florida drivers here in the chat. So I'm going to announce that next week. I'll show you guys something. And then, you know, if you're anywhere near the city.
How's the rain in your area? I hear it's supposed to get quite rainy.
It's actually started raining just now. but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think it's going to rain during Thanksgiving. We'll wish our Thanksgiving wishes right at the end. Harry's a ghost, but created this awesome community. Yeah, man. You know, Harry's Harry. You know, the reason Harry's a ghost, because he trusts us. That's why. Because we don't mess up. We're professionals. Anyway, so there you go. Thank you again. Much appreciated.
And with that being said, let's move on to our next topic, which is what is going on with this pricing algorithm?
This is my trips again. I was like, you know, okay, the fairly similar price, right? I mean, what is that? Eight cents difference, right?
Yep. Hold on, for those that are listening, there's two trips on. One is for $6.97 from an UberX and another UberX at $6.89 for price difference. So that's the 8 cents difference.
Right. As you can see, the screenshot timer, right? One came in at 4:20 and the other one at 5:02 PM.
Well, if you got them.
So they're not too far apart. So like afternoon rush hour, let's say, right? Okay. And literally, I mean, if you look at the pricing is 7 cent difference. Okay. between the two trips, except one 1.6 mile pickup, 5.2 mile drop off for a total of 6.8 miles at 24 minutes for $6.97. The other one, this guy was literally outside my car. And a 1.4 mile drop off, 7 minute total, 1.5 mile total for $6.89. Which one of these do you think I took, Chris?
I think you took the second one.
The second one? Yeah. So people, this is the thing. See, the I want to show you is that, first of all, if you guys are trying to make sense of the Uber algorithm, you never
will. I already know the answer to why this is.
Yeah. Why is it?
It's very simple. It was the one was an UberX priority.
Where does it say that?
It doesn't say that. Now it says it because they put it in the app.
You think so? Well, besides this, by the way,
who knows? Besides, with their pricing, who knows?
But I have been getting emails, trickling emails, not this avalanche that I get when something's going wrong. When something goes right, Chris, I get trickles, like one a day, two a day, things like that. Last week, I got a few tricklers in Orange County and in LA County. It seemed like Uber has raised the minimum fare. I did so many videos about those $2.82, $3 trips, not being able to buy a pack of gum with it.
Oh, my God. I love the chat. You people don't understand a joke.
It's a joke. Chill out, people. yeah, I know. Okay, so listen, people. Email me, please, because I need some proof. Daniel, he's funny. Yeah, yeah, there's tons of Prop 22 money on that thing. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, you get your money. No, the point I'm trying to make is this. There is rumors, Chris, that Uber has raised the minimum fare in LA and in California in general. A lot of people said that to me, that, Serge, I'm not getting anything less than $4.50 on minimum fare trips anymore. Is that true, chat? Is it true? Are you seeing minimum fares go up in California or whatever city you're in? Email me, Sergio@therideshareguy.com, because there was a Jersey driver who said, I'm not getting anything less than $6, Serge. I'm going like, wow, awesome.
Hey,
so my point in all of this, I was like, I got that right one, which I took, of course. But the right one, when I got that, I go like, yeah, damn, they did raise the minimum fare, because that trip, Chris, that trip right there, less than 3 miles, would have paid nothing more than $3. Nothing more. Mm. Now $6.89. I'm like, shit.
Well, you know what? Who knows? Here's the thing, though, maybe. Maybe Uber finally got the realization that drivers are just not accepting certain rides, so they have to raise prices.
Okay.
I mean, well, maybe. I doubt it, but maybe.
But then I got crushed thinking, yeah, they raised minimum fare. And then I got crushed by receiving the one on the left. 24 minutes for $7 versus 7 minutes for $7 almost. I'm going like, and also this, by the way, even by the way, people, this is the thing here. Even if it's base rates, people, you still have to cherry pick, because there is these hidden surges that Uber, I am pretty sure on this one, Uber ripped a good one on the right to the rider, and the algo decided to share it with me. Okay. And all I know is, even when it's on Trip Radar, even if it's a trip, you need to study it. You need to make sure you're cherry picking, even if there is no surge, because there's hidden surges like this that show up. Okay, yeah.
You know, I just got a little notification about a ride, and it says, "Dude, what the F is this?" And it's an Uber ride. And here's this. This is the best part. It is a 5 minute trip to pick up 1.4 mile away. 12 minute ride overall for 8.4 miles, and they're paying $6.62.
What?
Yeah.
A regular X trip?
Yep.
$6.62 for a total of 10 miles?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh boy.
That goes hashtag decline.
The pricing algorithm is wild.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is pick the one on the right. Don't do the one on the left and collect your money 2 weeks later, like Daniel said, from Prop 22. Garbage. Come on, bro. Although on that one, that trip would have probably, you would have gotten back like $5-6 on that trip, Chris. But then the algo adjusts and then never pays you back. So anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, man. All right. With that being said, let's move on. We're going to talk about Lyft, and they're announcing more driver tools in the app.
They are.
And what,
they
are. What else are they adding? What else? Whoa.
They are. I got, see, this was done properly, Uber. Lyft did send me this, right? Emailed me this. But there was no embargo on this. I talked about it a little bit last week, but I didn't have the screenshot. So improving safety and connecting our community. So Lyft is going nationwide with the rider verification tool, just like Uber. They're going to have a check mark now. Again, does it mean anything? Not really, because whatever. If it makes you look, if it to me, it means something, because if it's going to make you feel a little bit more comfortable as a driver, if a rider has a check mark, great. Is it, you know, is it, does it go as deep as I would like? You know, them uploading a government ID or something? No. Of course not. Just like Uber's, but at least Lyft is going nationwide with a checkmark after testing it successfully. Now you can easily register your dash cam. We're going to talk about that dash cam in a minute, but the dash cam registration. Dash cam beta program, Uber, Lyft and Nexar are bedfellows. I don't know what the program is going to be like, but... I think this is a good idea, right? Maybe they will give it to their best elite drivers, you know, for a run.
Yeah, but only problem is some of those elite drivers probably already have dash cameras.
Potentially. No, the ones that they don't. I'm talking like as a perk or something, you know, like the points or Uber Pro points or whatever. So that they're doing that. And road safety improvements, that's the one that Uber has been doing. You know what? I'm driving, and now there's like a little window pops up, right, on the bottom. It says, is the traffic done? Are the cops gone? Is the accident clear? I have to click on it. Like, I'm actually sending Uber my data now. And you know what else? Who else is doing that, Chris? Google Maps is doing it now. Mm-hmm. Google Maps, like, pops up a little window on the bottom while I'm going somewhere. Is the accident cleared? I'm going like, there was no accident. You guys are late. But then I have to click on it, and Uber is asking me, and Lyft is doing the same thing now. You know, how's traffic? Is, you know, whatever, whatever. So I'm going like, I don't know. They're collecting our data and not paying us.
Roulette wheel, thank you for the super chat.
Roulette wheel, thank you. Charging, what is search price for a rider? Well, hey, I do that trip one after the other all day long, sir. But I do agree with you. On the back end, they charge with the multiplier, and on the front end, they pay you nothing. Okay, so maybe they didn't raise the fares in New Jersey. It's just $375. Okay, so this is what it's going to look like. Do you guys see that check mark, the one on the right-hand side? Verified check mark. It looks just like Uber's, you know, or the Twitter check mark.
Yeah, I think they're just pretty much the same. It's just a check mark, and there you go.
Yeah, and then Lyft added another thing in the app, restroom finder. So you can make a note for your next driver that you went to a McDonald's and it was clean and whatever. They even rate the restroom, actually, that you went to. And they'll make a note and let the next driver know. And this is the real-time road alerts. It's just like Uber's. You know, it'll show you... do we have a screenshot on this one or no? No. It'll ask you about the road conditions. Traffic, is it cleared? You know, are the cops gone? I don't know, whatever. But now, you know, Lyft is doing a lot of these things that Uber was doing it. And but the most important thing in that is obviously the verification. And this is what it's going to look like. Oh, there it is. Select the location for more info, public restroom. So Lyft is becoming a public restroom rating app. I'm joking, Lyft. I'm joking.
No, what are you talking about? That is, look, the center screenshot shows restroom ratings. Rated by 25 drivers.
There's an app
for clean and well lit.
Yeah. There's an app for that, by the way. Did you know that?
Isn't it like Poo on the Go or something?
Yeah, no, not Poo on the Go, but there is an app for that you can rate the restroom, and you pay for the restroom, actually. with a lock on it. But anyway, so this is pretty cool, I think, right? I mean, Lyft, the app is already kind of glitchy. I don't know if this is going to make it more glitchy, adding all these things, layering these things on it. You know, how about you guys pay us a little bit more?
All I know is I do love the fact that it has little toilets on the map. I find that absolutely hilarious. Now, if they had like the little poop emoji, oh my God, I'd be dying. I'd be rolling on the floor dying.
Well, I would have put that there because it would have been funny that way. You know what I mean? But then yeah. I don't think Lyft has this. The corporate entities don't have that much sense of humor, Chris.
That's why they need to have me on as a consultant. So I can be like, no, you got to have like a little poop emoji because people will laugh at that. And they'll be like, oh my God, that's great. And it'll make their day happier.
And this then they won't be so three, pissed off. All three is for restrooms? It is for restrooms.
Yeah. Because that's you're going to rate the restroom. They're asking about parking, cleanliness, and well-lit. And then if there's anything else. It gives you the hours. It gives you, a lot of different things. So it's honestly, that's kind of nice. Although, you know, sorry, ladies. But for me, it's quite easy because I just open up the door and I go. So it's quite simple that way because I usually drive at night. So I don't have to worry about that. But during the day, it's always good to know. But luckily, we have a Tim Hortons on every corner. So I just walk in there.
Yeah. No, I this is very detailed. I'll bet you they're collecting data, probably selling it to somebody. I'll bet you anything.
To the restroom app.
Yeah, this is way too much data for a bathroom. You know what I'm saying? You guys should have this on like some stuff that's not working. Put some work and man hours in that stuff, like schedule rides and things like that. Come on. Anyway. So the big news is verification. So verification going nationwide. You guys will see checkmark passengers going
forward. Yep. Well, I mean, it's good to have other things. So they're definitely adding a lot more, they are. Which is nice. So they definitely will it all work seamlessly together? I don't know. We'll see. But like I say, if I see little poop emojis on my map, I'm just going to be like, this is great.
Yeah, I know. No, that's cool. Yeah. You guys don't need to kill the messenger here. We're just telling you what it is. I mean, don't be negative on the
Josh, restroom. Useless. I concur. Give me the update that's going to say, hey, guess what? You're going to get a 20% pay bump. That's what I want.
Turbo.
No, on all rides.
Oh, okay.
Or better yet, give 50 rides and make an extra $350. Well, now we're talking.
Yeah, I haven't had one of those.
Not in a while. Yeah. All right, anyway. Let's move on though. Let's talk about why dash cams are so important, which we had mentioned, you know, a couple times already. And one of the big things, Thanksgiving is Thursday. Black Friday, you know, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. But you know what? I've been seeing Black Friday deals all November long. And so you need to get a dash camera if you haven't already. Get one. We have links in the description for ones that we like and use, whether it's cloud-based like DisplayRide, which is a great camera. There's also storage-based, which is the Vantru and, you know, VFO and quite a few other ones. So definitely get something. They're all on sale right now. It's great. If you don't have one, get one. You need one. I don't want to hear the excuse, I can't, I don't have one or whatnot. And then save the receipt and take it to your tax advisor when you're doing your taxes for 2024.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the story is not clear on this. The only thing that's clear is she jumped out of an Uber and a couple of cars behind the Uber. That's the Uber driver's car. He pulled over and waited for the authorities to show up, actually. So I'm assuming she was a little high on some shit or whatever, and she just jumped out, right? Otherwise, why? If the Uber driver doing something bad, why would he pull over, wait for the authorities? The other thing, Chris, is that she got run over by the traffic behind the Uber car, right?
Yeah, I mean... The Long Island Expressway in Queens is going to have a ton of traffic on it.
Yeah, the sad part is, Chris, the one that hit her and killed her kept driving, drove away. So this, you have a hit and run in your hands just about here now, okay? Oof. I don't know. And why am I attaching this to dash cam? Okay, if this driver doesn't have a dash cam, her family comes and sues his ass, saying that you did something to her. That's why, you know, she jumped out of the car. You were threatening her, whatever. You have zero evidence, Chris. How do you protect yourself if you don't have a dash cam? Number one. Number two, that a-hole who ran over the poor woman, assuming, and kept going. If this driver had a dash cam, it would be all in there, pretty much.
Yep.
So, look, man, if you're driving 10 hours or if you're driving 110 hours. If you have a
three-channel dash camera.
Yeah, but
It might not catch on the rear, especially being at 1:30 in the morning. It's dark. I mean, I don't know how much. I haven't been in there in a while. I don't know how the streetlights are.
No, what I'm saying is that on the LA. I'm not saying it would have captured the accident or the car running over, but the car kept going and you have the front facing camera, right? It would have caught you what kind of car it was. And
yeah, but the problem is, yeah, but again, you can't really, because if it happened behind you and the car, like a car went like this and shook up and down, because you know, you're running somebody over, again, if you're just showing it from the front, you can't tell that was the car that was behind. It would be very difficult to do something like that. So that's why three channel dash cameras are, you know, even better, because you're getting that camera going right out the back. So you can actually see that, track it, and go from there. But either way, very unfortunate story. And, you know, because this published in November 23rd, they won't have a toxicology report probably for a little bit, to see if she was, on something or something, because if the toxicology report comes back negative and nothing, now you have to re-question the driver on what's going on. She felt unsafe, I mean seriously though, jumping out in the middle of the highway,
the driver will be under scrutiny, obviously, right? They're going to ask him. And then if he didn't have a dash cam, maybe she was acting all crazy before she jumped out. It would be all the proof, even for her family, right? It would be all the proof that she was already going nuts in the car. I have it on dash cam or whatever. From the moment she got in the car, she was distraught. Maybe she had a phone call with somebody or broke up from her husband, boyfriend, whatever. You have no evidence of why this woman jumped out of the car. Nobody will know. You know what I mean? And with the dash cam, you would have all that evidence. It's good for her family for closure as well. And it's a sad story, but this is one of the reasons you guys need to have a dash cam. You drive 10 hours, 110 hours. Do 10 trips a week, 110 trips a week. You got to have a dash cam. Got to have a dash cam. So
absolutely. Again, being that there's so many deals going on right now, there's no reason not to get one. So please get one. Like I say, links are in the description for what we recommend. There's several other ones out there. But you know, you want something that is going to be at least a dual channel dash camera. So something that's forward facing, something that's interior facing inside the cabin. Three channel cameras are great as well too, because like I say, you're going to get what's going out back of the car, with that two channel in the front, going forward facing and interior. So definitely get something, you need it. There's no way you can't have it at this point. You just need it essentially.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, let's go to the next one.
All right. So as the title of today's episode is this going to reduce driver oversaturation? Well, we'll see. What do you think?
It's the next one.
My bad.
Okay. So Uber, what is the risk to deportation from Trump's immigration policy on rideshare and food delivery? Well, we've been talking about this for a while. And in fact, this topic and the next one are kind of together. The point is, obviously, Mr. Trump, you know, is saying that he's going to deport a bunch of people, illegals, obviously. And is it going to reduce oversaturation, Chris? Do you think it's going to? Because I know the part of the oversaturation problem is, besides illegal immigrants, is illegal accounts, and most illegal immigrants are running under illegal accounts, as you guys will see on the next topic, who brought me my food. And what do you think? You think Trump's immigration policy is going to reduce oversaturation?
If you get it off the ground and, you know, you do actually do a mass deportation, then yeah, you're probably going to see it, especially in these areas that are much heavier when it comes to the amount of people that are in that area. So, you know, places like Denver, New York City, Chicago, you're probably going to see a lot of turnaround on that if they are actually truly going to deport these people and have a real significant impact on how many people are truly deported. You're probably absolutely going to.
Okay. Well, you know, funny enough, I'm on GLG and GuidePoint. Those are like consulting companies. They're like the Uber of consulting, right? So they find you, they find your clients and you're a network member, and then you do consulting calls with these companies. I just got a request yesterday, Chris. Guess what was it about? It's an analyst firm, right? One of these Wall Street firms. And the question was, the analysts want to know what percentage of rideshare drivers are illegal, and what are the qualifications of an illegal to be on these platforms? And he was literally asking me this question: what do you think the new immigration policy is going to, how it's going to affect the driver supply for Uber? And I'm pretty sure he's an Uber or Lyft analyst or a DoorDash analyst. So I did my answer. So I'm waiting, you know, if they're going to pick me or not, because a bunch of consultants, you know, just pick it. And I think it's going to make a big difference if he's going to, especially in the border cities. I think it's going to make a big difference. And I think it's safer for the consumer. And thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. All the border cities, Texas, Miami, L.A., California, anyway, it's going to make a big difference, I think, if he does what he does, what he says he's going to do. Look, you don't want anybody separated from their families and whatever, this and that. I understand the human side of the story, but we're a rideshare channel.
If you're driving drunk, you got a kid in the back car, they're going to separate you. You're going to jail.
Yeah.
So yeah,
illegal, man. I don't know.
I mean, so hey, look, I have no problem with people coming here. I do it the right way, and you know, things are a lot better that way. You know, with the massive influx, you know, you're putting a lot of services at risk. There's a lot of people who are going to be upheveled because of everything. You know, schools are becoming, you know, centers for them to stay at, hotels, same thing. So there's a lot of things going on, but yeah, I think honestly, if they actually do do a mass deportation, yeah, you're probably going to see these areas kind of open up in terms of how much oversaturation there is. Do I think it's going to solve the problem? Absolutely not. I think
it's not going to clear it.
But, yeah, you know, some of the other policies that is talking about, like trying to drill, baby, drill. And if you can start cutting costs of gas and start cutting costs of production and start cutting costs from A to Z when it comes to, you know, manufacturing to finished product, if you start cutting all those costs and you're able to get them down, then you probably will, because less people will actually have to go out and feel the desperation saying, hey, I still need to go out and make $250 more a month because I have X, Y, and Z bill, and those types of things. So that could have a big impact as well too. So I think it's a few policies that could potentially lead to, you know, some drivers saying, hey, I don't need to do this anymore. My job is enough, and they might not be doing it anymore, which can help other drivers who are, you know, stuck, and their URs utilization rates are, you know, 40-50%. Those types of things I think could potentially help.
This is a bigger problem, not as much for rideshare, obviously, because it's a lot harder to, I mean, it happens, but it's not as prevalent as it is for deliveries. And we'll go to the last topic. And so once in a while, well, not once in a while, when Uber offers me great incentives, I order Uber Eats or DoorDash. Literally, the food comes for free. Free delivery, $30 off your bill. So you order $30 and they take it off, and then you pay like $5 and throw in a tip for $10, four people eat. So I had one of those occasions. So, okay. Last 10 times, Uber. Last 10 times I ordered food. Seven Uber times. The driver who was supposed to bring me the food was not the driver that brought me the food. That included male to female. If a female was supposed to bring me the food, a male showed up. And just to see this, Chris, what I do is I put my 4-digit verification code when I'm ordering Uber Eats, right? Mm. So I can, so they get out of the car and hand me the food and I see their face so that I can confirm. Because on DoorDash, you do not see the driver's face when you're ordering. You have a name, you have a license plate, you have whatever. On Uber Eats, you have it just like on rideshare. You see the picture, the name, the license plate number, the car, model, make, everything, right? So this last one, it was a few days ago, I ordered Uber Eats. And let's see. Well, okay. This is the guy that was supposed to be bring me the food. All right? I ordered Wingstop. Thomas, I covered his license plate, obviously, in his face. Thomas is in a Toyota Prius. Call Thomas at 424. That's the Uber, you know, conduit number. So I left that on. So Thomas is waiting for my food. Thomas is supposed to bring me my food. Okay. But instead of Thomas, 15 minutes later, this dude showed up. Does this look like a Toyota Prius to you?
Nope.
Okay. That Nissan Versa. Yeah, that car had so many dings on it, right? Number one. Number two, I'm going like, maybe the guy's driving a different car today. That's why, Chris, I have the 4-digit verification code where I pick up the food before they hand it to me. That the driver has to ask me, what is your 4-digit verification code? I'm like, okay, cool. Bro, I go outside my car. This guy, first of all, is supposed to get out of the car, bring me the food to the door. It's meat at the door. The guy is sitting in the car. The guy's not getting out of the car. I'm going like, there's something fishy going on. I open my garage door, go out to the car. The guy still doesn't get out of the car, Chris. He puts the driver's side window down, gives me my drinks, gives me my food. And then in Spanish, he said something. And I go, you know, no habla español. So this guy, Chris, did not speak one single word of English. And then he's like doing this to me. He's like doing this. And it's definitely not Thomas. Definitely not Thomas. I see Thomas's picture. Now I'm going like, mother. So he's done doing like this. I'm going like, what the fuck does that mean? Then I thought, oh, he's asking me for my 4-digit code. So I go, 3 blah, blah, blah. It's usually the last 4 digits of your phone number. I tell him, he goes, Espanol, senor, Espanol. This fucking guy doesn't even know how to count in English, let alone, you know. So I know enough Spanish to count to 10. So I give him my code. Now I'm going like, I'm looking at the Prius. This guy's not Thomas. So I'm like freely taking pictures of the car, right? Because I'm going to send it to Uber. And he saw me taking pictures. He starts cussing me out in Spanish. I know cussing me out in Spanish really well. So I started cussing him back in Spanish because from soccer, I know how to cuss, you know, certain stuff. Yeah. So this guy, exactly that. Exactly that. So I'm going like, I sent, and then last but not least, I go to the Uber app. I'm going to report this, right? The food is fine, but the person who brought me the food 7 out of the last 10 times was not the person that was supposed to be. I wasn't the one in the app. So I go to my app. I clicked on the delivery. None of those, you know, links are the driver is not my driver or it doesn't match the picture or whatever, right? It's the usual. My food was bad. Some of my items were missing. Some of the items, blah, 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 blah. All right. Then I found on the next, you click on next, you get this page. I had an issue with my delivery person. Now I'm going like, okay, I am going to report this with a click. Does anywhere in here say, as a warning or as a caution, that you can send to the Uber people. The driver who was supposed to bring the food was not the driver that brought me the food. Don't you think they should put a link like that in there? Of course not. There's no choice for the consumer to complain. So what do? Now I called Uber support. 20 minutes later, I go, this asshole who brought me the food was not the person that was not Thomas, was not driving that car. Oh, we make a note of it. We'll never match you with them again. That's the support answer I got. Uber, some person is going to get killed, jacked, raped. Something is going to happen. This is a bad situation. Chris, 7 out of 10 times is a different driver bringing me my food. How safe is that for the consumer? I'm telling you, how safe is that? So I'm going like, okay, well, Uber, you're watching this. There you go. Don't mess with Thomas. So I'm assuming now what happened is that Thomas rented his account to this idiot who cussed me out in Spanish. I'm pretty sure that's what's happening here, right?
Wait a minute. Wait, okay. So you're saying that Thomas should not be held responsible for renting out his account?
Thomas definitely should be held responsible. Thomas should be gone. All of them should be responsible. Uber should be responsible. No, Thomas definitely is responsible.
So
I didn't take my tip out. I left the tip in there. I didn't do that. Well, I'm not going to do that. But I did call support and I reported it because there is no place in the app for me to do click, click, click. No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're working on a story like that, similar with Steve, right? Yeah.
With Steve and Luis, which I actually just sat down with Luis the other day. And we had a great conversation. So yes, there is a video coming that is going to expose this, very much so. And it's coming. So be on the lookout for that, Uber, because you're definitely going to be getting an email from me very soon. And explanation. Definitely. Because, you know, as good journalism goes, you want to make sure you can get their point across as well and what they have to say. So just be prepared for that. I will not accept a cookie cutter answer. I will call that out. So I want a real answer. but yeah, there is a story that is coming very soon.
Yeah, that's going to be a great video, I'm pretty sure. And 7 out of 10 is pretty scary. I mean, that's 70%. Sure. That's 70%, right? And how is the consumer safe in all this? Because none of these people are vetted. None of these people have background check. None of these, not that it matters that much, but you know what the consumer says? Okay, it's convenience. I really don't give a shit who brings my food. I'm like, bro. Exactly. Somebody said Lincoln Riley, right? Her case is...
That was exactly what Luis and I talked about when it came to... Because I asked him, why should customers even care? And he said, look, because of the safety. And you know, the driver or the person who killed Larkin was a registered DoorDash driver, or was not registered, but was driving DoorDash, had an account. Even though DoorDash said, "Hey, he didn't have any account with us," that's because it was illegal. It was a fake account.
Yeah. Well, just like Thomas. And the other thing, you know, when I do deliveries these days, because I'm working on a Prop 22 story, I am seeing these congregations of drivers with next week I'll show you that. I have some photographs. I'm like on the side taking pictures. There are these dudes, multiple phones in their hands, right? They're all like congregating and I don't know, smoking, whatever the heck they're doing, and they're just doing something. I don't know what they're doing, but I'm gonna approach them actually. I'm gonna talk to them. Like, hey, what's up? Here's my card. What are you guys doing? Or whatever. But this is a big problem. We need to break this out in a major way. And, you know, the title of your video should be, who's picking you up at 4-3 in the morning from when you're drunk at a bar? Who's taking you to the airport? Who's bringing your food? Who's bringing your grocery? Who's bringing your shit? I'm telling you, this needs to be looked at seriously. So.
Yep. All right. Anything more? I know you've got to get out of here now.
I'm going to go take my son to soccer and, happy Thanksgiving, Chris.
You too. Everybody else.
And everybody be safe. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Thank you for the support.
Not only that, we have another thing. This should be a good weekend out there to go and drive, because there's quite a few people who are going to be needing rides to and from the airport, to and from train stations, to and from, you know, Airbnbs to family houses, et cetera, shopping, all that stuff. So, you know, do what you can, get out there, make some money, and then let us know how you're doing. Let us know the area, if it's busier than normal or whatnot. And yeah, I'd like to know. Either way, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy. Don't go and work on Thanksgiving, but unless you want to, enjoy with family.
Well, next day after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is Thursday, correct? Yeah.
Yep.
So day after Thanksgiving should be busy, rideshare wise, because people are not working. They're going out, doing things, you know.
Well, it's Black Friday, so you get all the shopping. But you also have busy travel days. Tomorrow, I mean, like I say, it starts really today. Tomorrow is a busy travel day. Thursday, usually a little bit earlier. And then, you know, Friday is usually Black Friday, and you're kind of hanging out with family still if you had to travel. And then Saturday, Sunday, it gets back to those travel days. So probably a lot of airport runs.
Yep, definitely a lot of those. And anyway, happy Thanksgiving, sir. Welcome back to the show. We'll be back regular time next week. And thank you for the support. Much appreciated.
All right. We'll see you guys.